1027 Business with Michael Avery.
The rising costs of healthcare have come under severe scrutiny in South Africa lately, and indeed all over the world. I think governments are grappling with spiraling healthcare costs. And we had a recent groundbreaking constitutional court ruling on the role of the competition authorities in promoting the right to healthcare, offering some valuable insights into how the Bill of Rights intersects with the rights of companies to pursue profits and the whole concept of market power, real or perceived here. And reading through both the majority and the minority judgments, I was a little bit taken aback by the majority's reasoning under Chief Justice Mogoeng in one of his final judgments. Heather Irvin, partner at law firm Bowmans, joins us now to discuss the ruling. Evening, Heather. Looking at the case and the background to it, it's called the Competition Commission of South Africa versus MediClinic Southern Africa, and it really looks like it's going to have far-reaching consequences for both merger review and the adjudication of complaints under the Competition Act. What's the background to the case?
Well, Michael, this was a merger in which MediClinic had tried to acquire these two rather small hospitals in the Potchefstroom area. And they made an application to the Competition Commission to do so. And this was prohibited by the tribunal on the basis that it would lead to a lessening of competition and also have very negative effects on uninsured patients, people who don't have a medical aid, who were using these two hospitals, which at that time were providing lower tariffs. So that decision was taken on appeal to the Competition Appeal Court, which did a very extensive evaluation of the evidence that was put before the tribunal and concluded that the tribunal got it wrong, and so they permitted the merger to go ahead. That decision was taken on appeal to the Constitutional Court by the Competition Commission, and ultimately the Commission were successful. They prohibited the merger, and Mogoeng was very firm in his decision that this decision by the tribunal and the Competition Commission was justified, in particular in the light of the right to health care in the Constitution. So that's really quite a novel interpretation, and not one that we've necessarily thought about extensively previously.
And in fact, in the minority judgment we see here, penned by Hanekom et al., he articulates the fact that he feels the court didn't have jurisdiction around Section 27, because, I mean, everything ultimately has some kind of constitutional element, the right to healthcare, the right to safety. But if you just fling the doors of the courts open because there's some constitutional element, then the court would be flooded here. And he tends to disagree that the court had jurisdiction. But I want to hone in on the issue of pricing here. How did the court assess the pricing effects of the proposed merger? If we look at the tribunal and what it said, and then how the appeal court ruled, and then ultimately how the majority in the Constitutional Court viewed the issue around pricing.
What seems to have been particularly important to the Constitutional Court when looking at the decision of the appeal court was the fact that there was no debate that these two rather small hospitals were providing lower priced services to poor consumers in a relatively vulnerable area of the country, and that these were not patients who were on medical aid. They were uninsured people. And there was little debate that if MediClinic acquired these particular two hospitals, they would start to price in the same way as all other MediClinic hospitals, and consequently that prices at those two hospitals would go up, which would have a particularly negative effect, the Concord said, on uninsured people who are using those hospitals. Now, this is a slightly different way from how the Competition Appeal Court saw it, because they undertook the conventional economic analysis, which is really restricted to saying, does a transaction lead to a substantial lessening or prevention of competition in the overall market? So, for example, if these patients could go around the corner to a different facility, that would be enough as far as the appeal court was concerned. It wasn't an acquisition which would reduce competition overall, and the appeal court seems to accept that as long as you've got adequate levels of competition, the market will sort out the pricing dynamics in the longer term. That is how conventional economic analysis in competition cases works. The Constitutional Court suggests that we should think about these concepts of competition law. What is the substantial lessening or prevention of competition with our constitutional rights glasses on? So we should think about, when deciding whether or not there is a substantial lessening or prevention of competition, bear in mind that there is a constitutional right to health care. That's particularly important to poorer people who don't have medical insurance. And interpreting what means there will be a lessening of competition, we must bear in mind the effects in particular on those people and their rights to health care. And that, I think, does open the door for a lot more constitutional argument to be brought to bear, not only in merger cases, which are heard by the competition authorities, but also in cases which revolve around prohibitive practices, like excessive pricing, for example. That said, I think there's also some scope to argue, as one always does in constitutional court cases, that constitutional rights are of course not absolute. All constitutional rights can be limited to the extent that's reasonable and justifiable. And of course, there are often conflicting rights at play. And that would include the rights of someone like MediClinic to conduct their business in an efficient way and to build scale and be able to deliver services to patients across the country, drawing on the scale that they develop and in accordance with their business plan. So I think there may well be, although it does open the door to these kinds of constitutional arguments to be brought in competition cases, it remains to be seen how that will play out, because I think it's a fairly unnavigated territory for us so far in South Africa.
Exactly. That's why this is so groundbreaking. And also viewed through the lens of our constitutional rights and social justice, which seem to pepper the majority judgment, it does raise more than a few eyebrows. In fact, if you just look at the arguments made by MediClinic that the merger would likely result in technological and efficiency gains that would substantially actually offset the anti-competitive effects of the merger, that seemed to just be tossed out the window and hardly examined in the majority judgment. And back to your earlier point, you reckon that this now could open the doors of the court even wider to various other issues and sectors. What do you foresee as the likely impact on not only the healthcare sector, but kind of merging parties in any other sector as a result of this?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously healthcare is the obvious one, and we've already seen the Competition Commission pushing to investigate the cost of PCR tests in the context of the pandemic. And obviously that's informed largely by the right to healthcare in the Constitution. But of course there are other socioeconomic rights in the Constitution. One thinks, for example, of the right to housing. Now, traditionally, you think of that as something which it's the state's obligation to provide. Citizens can wield that constitutional sword and demand that the state fulfill that right. But it might play out even in a private merger context if one applies this constitutional court judgment. You might say, well, if you want to sell your apartment block to another big apartment block owner and you happen to be offering low-cost apartments in a very important area for poor commuters, suddenly the right to housing may come into play when the competition authorities adjudicate whether or not that acquisition should be allowed to proceed or not. There's always been this division between what is a competition factor and what is a public interest factor under the Competition Act. And by holding those two things separate, we have looked at both sides. So will competition be substantially lessened, yes or no? And then over and above that, will there be an effect on the public interest, yes or no? And then those two effects are balanced out when the competition authorities decide whether to allow a merger or not. And now we seem to be suggesting that we should start thinking about impacts on individuals' constitutional rights when interpreting the concepts of competition law. Oh. And that, to me, does raise concerns, because at the moment we have a fairly rigorous system of economic analysis and lots of tools in our economic toolbox which allow us to measure effects and to predict them. If one starts looking at this on a more sort of individualistic basis, or on a kind of an intuitive basis, that might undermine the kind of economic analysis that we've seen to date and make it much more difficult to predict whether your deal will be cleared or won't be cleared.
That is the major concern here, further adding to uncertainty in an environment where businesses are crying out for more certainty in order to conduct their affairs and to grow and to ultimately conduct their business in a manner that seeks to follow their rights, as you said earlier, to achieve economies of scale, to maximize efficiencies, all of those good things, which ultimately tend to lead to better outcomes and services for those very same consumers who are allegedly impacted by this merger. All kinds of interesting questions. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for Go and Read the Judgment. If you haven't, in this groundbreaking constitutional court case in the Competition Commission versus MediClinic of Southern Africa, that was Heather Irvin, partner in Bowman South African Competition Practice, here on Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery. We'll be right back.